I would like to share some thoughts with you tonight that the Lord's laid upon my heart from the book of Acts, chapter 2, very familiar passage. We'll stay there tonight and just look at these verses and share some thoughts with us tonight. Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse number 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in the breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Our Father, we are so thankful the wonderful privilege we have to be in church tonight. We're going to have an opportunity to gather around the Lord's table. And I pray it might be a time that will help us to focus upon the great sacrifice of your Son on an old rugged cross to be able to die for the sins of mankind. And I thank you for the opportunity we have to be in a good local New Testament church where we're taught the principles of the Word of God. Well, we know why we're here. We know why we worship. We know why we do what we do. And I pray that you give us a greater love and a greater appreciation for the local church. Thank you so much for the opportunity we have to be stewards, to be able to manage our time, talent, and treasure for you. Now, Father, I pray that you take me here tonight as your servant. I pray you'll take me, cleanse me of any sin, empty me of self, then fill me with thine Holy Spirit. You bless the preaching and teaching of God's holy word. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. I thank God tonight for the local New Testament church. The local church is still important to God. As a matter of fact, the church is not an organization. It's an organism. And by the way, it's not dead. It is alive. It is something that God has given us that we have the opportunity to be able to come and worship him. And by the way, the church is very special to God. After all, the church was founded by the Lord Jesus Christ. He spent 3.5 years teaching these disciples that would make up his local New Testament church. And then he commissioned them to evangelize the world. We find here that after the Lord Jesus Christ had been crucified, buried, raised again from the dead, he spent 40 days talking to this local New Testament church. And then after he commissioned them, he sent them to Jerusalem to tarry or wait until they be endued with power to reach the world. They gathered there. We find that these 11 and then the 120. And then on the day of Pentecost, the preaching of the word of God took place. Some 3,000 got saved, baptized, and joined, not an organization, but the church. Then we find out that after they continued preaching the word of God, they said there came a time that 5,000 men got saved. And then there was a time when multitudes of men, women, boys, and girls got saved, and the church was on the move for Almighty God. And by the way, it was not just a church. It was a church that belonged to Almighty God. I'm glad today that God still owns the church. Thank God that we can preach. Thank God that we can teach. Thank God that we can serve. Thank God that we can give. Thank God that we can sing. But it still belongs to Almighty God. Thank God for the church. And let me say at the very beginning before I forget, I believe without a doubt God's building something great here at Crossroads Baptist Church. I've had the privilege these 35 plus years of traveling around this country and around the world. I've preached in many, many churches of all sizes. The smallest one was made up of 2 members at that time over in Germany. The largest, several thousands, and all different sizes in between. And I've seen just about everything when it comes to the local church. And by the way, our church is not made up or be a good church because it has a great building. It doesn't matter whether it has thousands of people. It's not a great church because it has a great choir. It helps to be a good church having a great choir, but that is not what makes a church. There's a lot more to a church than just a group of people. A nice building, a nice choir, money in the bank, and all the things that we see going on in the world today. Unfortunately, and sadly to say, a lot of places today, church is just a formality. It is just something that's going on. Many churches are dead. Many churches have lost its purpose. Many churches are gathering together on Sunday mornings and Sunday evening. Some churches have changed from Sunday evening, making it a lot more convenient. Let's just have 2 morning services. Give people more time. Let's not have a good old-fashioned preaching Wednesday night service. Let's have a great Awana program and have a little Bible study. All kinds of things are going on in this organism called the local New Testament church. Jesus Christ said, upon this rock, speaking of himself, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. In the book of Psalms, it said, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. So for a few moments tonight, I want to talk a little bit about the church in this matter of stewardship. And I want to teach you a little bit tonight about how God builds his church. If you want to know whether you're in a church that God's building, you listen for the next few moments. And this is what I want you to look for when you walk into a church. When you walk into Crossroads Baptist Church, you ought to find the things that I'm going to talk about tonight. When you travel and walk into a church, if God's building it, you ought to find these things going on in the local New Testament church. How does God build the church? Not how a pastor builds the church, not how a president builds the church, not how an organization builds the church. How does Almighty God, who's omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent, immutable, eternal, knows all, does all, how does he build this organism called the local New Testament church? Few simple things that I want you to think about tonight. And by the way, if you are part of a church that's being built by Jesus Christ, you have no problem with stewardship. You have no problem giving your time to it. You have no problem using your talent in it. You have no problem using your resources and giving your treasure to see it accomplish what God wants it to accomplish. How does God build his church? What do I want to look for? What do I want to be a part of? How do I know that I'm in the right place doing the right things that God wants me to do? I'm glad you asked. How does God build this church? In Acts chapter 2, we find here in chapters 2, 3, and 4, we find the building of the New Testament church. You hear the word used oftentimes, New Testament church. And by the way, in my opinion, a New Testament church is a fundamental, Bible-believing, independent Baptist church. I make no apologies about being a Baptist. A Baptist is not a Protestant. It's independent, it's fundamental, it's Bible-believing, and it's biblical. And I believe that's the kind of church that God wants to build. And that's what he's building here at Crossroads Baptist Church. How does he do it? First of all, God always builds his church upon the right person. The right person. Now, we won't take the time and look at all of this in Acts chapter 2, but if you know the story, and many of you know that, the apostle Peter was standing up preaching there to the Jews. All of these 16 different dialects of Jews had come back to celebrate the day of Pentecost.
Peter stands up here in Acts chapter 2 and he looks at those Jews and he begins to look at them and preach to them. And notice what he said to them in verse number 22. He said, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call, I'm sorry, I'm looking wrong. Acts chapter 2, verse 22. Here we go. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Now he's talking to the Jews. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, when whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holding of it. He said, you Jews, listen. You crucified Jesus Christ. I mean, the Jews cried out, crucify him, crucify him. He said, let me tell you something. You crucified Jesus Christ. He was the one that was nailed to the cross. Down in verse 36, notice what he says. Therefore, and all that he said in between, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Here's how God builds a church. He always builds it upon the right person, and that person is always Jesus Christ. Why? According to Acts 20, verse 28, he purchased the church with his own blood. Now, since he founded the church, he trained the church, he bought the church, he died for the church, he's coming back for the church, shouldn't he be the one who gets all the preeminence in the church? No pastor, no missionary, no deacon, no church member, no group of church members can ever be the foundation of a church God builds. Now, how does that apply to stewardship? If he gets the preeminence, since he purchased it, whatever I give, whatever I say, however I sing, however I preach, it's never about me. It's always about him. I wouldn't give you a dime, and I used to say a plug nickel when I was preaching, for anybody who comes to church just for the preacher, just for the people, if you don't come for Jesus. You can tolerate a whole lot of things that go on in the church as long as that man stands behind there, whether he speaks like I speak or preach like Pastor Kenny preaches or Pastor Mike or anybody else. As long as you listen to hear him talk about Jesus, who died, was buried, was raised from the dead, we sing about him, we pray about him, we praised about him. That's worth a second chance. I think I could go back there for a Sunday night if I came in Sunday morning and heard about Jesus. The church, first of all, is always built upon the right person, who's none other than Jesus Christ. Now quickly turn over to Acts chapter 4. I want you to see some other verses all about the New Testament church. Jesus builds his church upon the person of Jesus Christ and him alone. The second thing I want you to notice about the church that Jesus built is simply this. It's always built upon the right power. And that is not money power. It's not manpower. It's Holy Ghost power. Amen. The New Testament church was on fire. Folks were getting saved. They were selling out. They were giving things. They were looking out for one another. They were going from house to house. They were telling people about Jesus. They were surrendering. They were getting baptized, doing some things, getting away from the Jewish tradition. Why they did that? Because the Holy Spirit of God got a hold of their lives and made a difference. In Acts chapter 2, notice if you would, Acts chapter 4, rather, and verse 31. And when they had prayed and the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled or controlled with the Holy Spirit, and they spake the word of God with boldness, and the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands and houses sold them and brought the prices and brought the prices of the things that were sold. Notice this. And laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. When they got saved, got their eyes off self and off things, and God the Holy Spirit came down and filled them and controlled them and influenced them and guided them, they had no problem giving their time, their talent, and yes, even their treasure. Why? The power of the Holy Spirit. You have a problem with churches today? We're trying to build the church with programs. We're trying to build the church with influential people. We're trying to build the church with beautiful buildings. The church that God builds is always built with his power. He's the only one that can take a sinner and change his life. And may God help us to understand, we need to get back to getting the power of God upon our lives. And by the way, I'm teaching on the fruit of the Spirit, and I've taught the filling of the Holy Spirit and the baptism of the Holy Spirit in my class. We're having a wonderful, wonderful time. And you know, being filled with the Holy Spirit, having the power of God, you can't get up like I do every morning and make my 5-minute oatmeal and put some walnuts on it and put a little cereal on it and put some lactate milk in it and stir it up and eat it every day, 7 days a week I do that. You can't do that with the Holy Spirit. But here's a little formula that'll work for you. You want to have the power of God in your life. Here are three things you can do in this order. Tell God to cleanse you of your sin. And then tell him to empty yourself. And then fill you. Give him some room to work with. And I believe without a doubt, I sit and I listen to preaching, and I preach all the time, and you see people who profess to know the Lord Jesus Christ, and they're not moved, they're not stirred, they don't give, they don't go, they don't get involved. What is missing, it's not preaching, it's not telling people what to do, it's the fact that the Holy Spirit is not getting a hold of that heart to give our time, give our talent, give our treasure. God builds his church on his power. And by the way, he doesn't need any of us to manufacture power. And if you haven't figured it out yet, God is not impressed with you. Amen. But I'm somebody. I got a good job. I've got a good education. I've got a lot of degrees. Suddenly God would like to have me. Only if you cleanse of sin, emptied of self, that he can fill you, can he use you. Now, we as preachers may be impressed with you. I'll tell you right now, if you tell me that you're a millionaire and you're looking for a church, I say, Crossroads, you ought to join. And you don't have to be super spiritual for us to use your money. God builds his church upon the person of Jesus Christ. Then he needs to build it upon his power, not man-made power, not program power, not singing power, Holy Ghost power. Thirdly, God builds his church with the right people. Now, you thought, everybody doesn't fit in God's church. There are a whole lot of churches filled with people, but they're not in God's church. God's looking for certain kind of people. Why? He's trying to build his church. And he needs the right kind of people. And quickly, back in Acts chapter 2 in our text, let me show you the kind of people God builds his church upon. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 41, I want you to notice, first of all, Peter had just been preaching about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The Jews were pricked in their hearts when they realized, we crucified the Son of God, the Savior of the world. Their hearts were pricked. They heard the message, which was a hard message. You crucified Jesus Christ. They were pricked in their hearts. And notice in verse 41, he says, then they that gladly received his word were baptized. First of all, here are the kind of people that God builds his church upon. He's looking for saved people. Years ago, evangelist Tom Williams said in our church, in preaching, he said, I believe that 70% of the people of the church members in the average independent Baptist church, 70% of the people are lost. I still don't want to believe that. But one thing I know after pastoring 30 years, a good number of people on the roll in the average church, they're lost. We're trying to make unsaved people be spiritual. They haven't come to the point in their heart where they haven't been pricked enough to know that I'm lost, I'm a sinner, I came out of the womb that way, I need a Savior. And until we get the church filled with saved people, there'll never be enough singing, never be enough preaching, never be a nice enough building, never be comfortable enough to get people to be good stewards. God builds this church with saved people. Here's what happened in Acts chapter 2. They believed. Then they got baptized. By the way, saved people who really believe in the gospel don't have a problem getting baptized. They believed. They were baptized. Then they belonged. If this is where I heard the gospel, I've got saved. This is God's program. He wants me to be here, wants me to give my time, wants to give my talent. I believe, I'm baptized, I belong. And from that point on, they behaved. They begin to act different. God builds his church, first of all, with saved people. Secondly, he goes on to say, those saved people became steadfast people. That means they were steady, had a steady, steady, steady persistence for the work of God. I just been delivered out of hell. I just became a part of a living organism. I've just realized that my time, my talent, my treasure can earn me something in heaven. And all of a sudden, there was a steady pursuit for the work of God. They got out of the way. They talked about the doctrine, the apostles' doctrine. They loved preaching. They attended prayer meeting. They attended when they had the Lord's Supper. And let me tell you something. They were involved in fellowship. I mean, preaching was good. Praying was good. Fellowship was good. And the Lord's Supper was respectful. Those steadfast people not only were saved and steadfast, but they went on to say they were solid people. They had a unity of heart. We see here in verse number 44, these people, look at what they did. I mean, these are the same people who crucified. Saying, crucify him, crucify him. They got so pricked in verse 44. And all that believed were together and had all things common. They had no problem sharing their time, sharing their talent, sharing their treasure with one another, because all of a sudden, keep in mind, they all had an appreciation of the fact that they'd been saved by the grace of God. How many of all of a sudden we can understand we're not all the same. We don't have all the same. But if we're saved, we can have all things common, because the same blood that washed away one washed away me. They started fellowshipping with one another, enjoying one another, and spending time together and having things common. These saved people who became steadfast people were solid people. They were single-minded people. I mean, in verse 46 talked about, and they, continuing steadfast with one accord in the temple and breaking of bread from house to house, and did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. I mean, they enjoyed one another. They shared their lives with one another. I mean, they went out and told one another about Jesus Christ. In verse 47, God added to the church daily. And by the way, that ought to still be happening. Folks ought to still be getting saved daily. If you got some saved people who are steadfast and solid people, single-minded people, that are telling other people about the wonderful gift of salvation in Jesus Christ. So the church that God's building, first of all, is built upon the person of Jesus Christ. He's the right person and the only person. Then we need his power. We need his power. Holy Spirit power. We need people who are saved, steadfast, solid, single-minded, because this is the church God's building. And then lastly, we not only need the right person, Jesus Christ, and the right power, the Holy Spirit, and the right people, you folks, but a church that God's building has to have the right pastor. The right pastor is important to pastor God's church. There are a whole lot of folks under the name pastor or elder or whatever is not pastoring one of God's churches. God puts in his church the right pastor. And I want you to give you quickly here as we finish up about how you know you have the right pastor. I want to give you the pastor's duty. I'm talking about a pastor who's pastoring God's church. Here's his duty. The three little things you look for in the right pastor. The right pastor who's pastoring God's church, you'll notice this about him. He will lead as a pastor. Shepherd is one who leads sheep. He's out front leading, not behind pushing. The right pastor leads as a pastor. And that means he knows what his calling is. I'm going to say something about our pastor. We all know from 9 years old, he's always been a great preacher. From fourth grade through freshman in college, he won every preaching contest there was. As a matter of fact, 10 years earlier, his big brother won from fifth grade through 12th grade. Both of them, the only three preachers in the history of the Christian school movement, ever won nationals 3 times in a row at Bob Jones University. Michael did it 87, 88, 89, somewhere along. No, that's, you graduated when? 87, so he did it. 85, 86, 87. Our pastor comes along and said, well, he didn't win in fourth grade, so I'm going to beat him. So he starts in fourth grade. Michael won in fourth grade. It's just the preacher judge didn't give it to him because, but I was there, you know. I know he won. So he should have won it, but they took it from him, you know. But anyway, that's another story. But he said, I'm going to win. I'm going to beat Michael. 10 years later. So he wins in fourth grade, wins all the way through 12th grade, Bob Jones University, 4,000 or 5,000 students there. He's the only time in the history that the president of the American Association of Christian Schools didn't preach the final message. They asked him to preach his message to 5,000 people. And we're sitting there, and before he could even get started, his mom jumps up, you know. Anyway, well, that's a long story. It takes me too long to tell about that story. He wins. Then they invite him down to Bob Jones. They get 80 some preachers around the country to preach at Bob Jones University. He preaches, they video him and take the video and tell the other 80 some, this is how you preach. So we always know, we've always known that he's a great preacher. But you know what's amazing about him? He's a great pastor. Amen. Here's a man that could preach every day to thousands of people someplace in the world, and no place he loves any more than pastoring Crossroads Baptist Church. So pastor has not only be a great preacher, but he has to lead as a great pastor. Now, I get chills having watched him from 9. And this coming April, he'll be 35. I was 35 when I started the church. At 35, he's preached more times around, probably a couple, three times, than I've preached in my entire 35 years before he turns 35. But he loves pastoring. Amen. You know you have the right pastor when he leads as a pastor, when he'd rather preach to this group than 10,000 some places in the world. If Pastor Kenny put on internet or had one of you all put on Facebook, Pastor Kenny just stepped down from Crossroads Baptist Church, your Facebook page will explode with people around the world trying to get him. Not as a preacher, but because he's a wonderful pastor. A great pastor leads as a pastor. Secondly, a great pastor loves his people. I can't even take the time to describe his love. The love he has for people at Crossroads Baptist Church and all around this country. Thirdly, a great pastor not only leads as a pastor, loves his people, but listens to problems. Back in the old cell phone days, we used to get him the plan with the most minutes on the phone. I found the plan with a combination with AT&T several years ago where we got him 6,000 minutes per month. He went over them every month because he listens to problems and people. That's the pastor's duty. Now let's talk about the people's dedication to a church God's building. Pastor's duty is to lead as a pastor, love his people, listen to problems. But the people who are part of a church that God's building, we ought to have a dedication to that kind of a pastor. And here's how it ought to go. First of all, we ought to come to the point in our lives that if he is that kind of pastor, and he is, then I've got to understand I have a dedication. First of all, I'm to listen to the man of God. And we know what it says in Hebrews 13:7 and Hebrews 13:17. And you ought to mark those verses down up there. We ought to listen to the man of God. We ought to learn from the man of God. I have never heard anybody with the preaching ability and such power and authority with so much teaching along with it. You cannot sit in this place and not learn about God, about the Bible, things that most of us read through the Bible could never have ever figured out. Where in the world did that come from? Ought to learn from the man of God. Ought to love the man of God. Ought to be loyal to the man of God. Punch out the next person who talks about your pastor. Lay him out and God will forgive you for it. Lift up the man of God. Pray for him. Pray for his children. Pray for his wife. And for heaven's sakes, and this is no by no means a complaint, provide for him. Double honor. Whatever the man of God should ever have a need for. When God gives that kind of gift, he's building a great church. And I don't know about you, but any of us who've been around here for any length of time, We don't have to try to figure out. God's doing something special at Crossroads Baptist Church. And it's a privilege to be a steward and be a part of it. If we want to see God build the church and take it to a level none of us have ever seen before, let's be the best stewards that we can ever be and say, God, I'm thankful. And what a privilege that you saved a sinner like me. And you then just let me be a part of a church. You let me be a part of a church you're building. You're building. And Lord, I can see every time I come in this place, Crossroads Baptist Church, the main person is always Jesus Christ. God, I've seen the power work. I've seen people get up out of their pews, come down this aisle and get saved every single week. We see people get baptized. We see lives change. We see people come from all walks of life, every makeup of people, and God's changing their lives. And God, help us to be the right kind of people, saved, steadfast, solid, single-minded, because we're thankful for having the right kind of pastor who leads us, a pastor, loves his people, and listens to my problem, no matter what that problem is. That's how God builds his church. Let's bow our heads in prayer.